For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is the fourth. It is the final hour of the morning show right here on 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, at least for the Thursday edition. Then we're going to come back on Friday the 13th. You should maybe wear that hoodie again tomorrow, because the mighty duck on your hoodie kind of looks like the Jason mask, but in duck form.
I'll have to see if I got like a scary sweatshirt or something.
I'd have to go back and look at the timeline, but the movie The Mighty Ducks came out right before the Anaheim Mighty Ducks became a thing, and they were named after the Disney movie, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, good little lineage there. Good timeline. Good movies, by the way.
Great
movies. We talked 90s sports movies yesterday, and always a good conversation. Joining us now, as he does every Thursday, not just baseball season, but all season long, we got the mighty Bill Shanks. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing well. Good morning. How are you guys?
A little confused, man. There's so much going on today. Yesterday was one of those days, and you and I have been around it for a while, that it feels like one unprecedented breaking news story would happen, and once we digest that, it only compounds and gets bigger and bigger with even more stories breaking. So how did your day go yesterday?
Well, I've been around a long time. I've been doing this for, you know, since I was a kid, 34 years when I first started, really, and I've never had many days like that. There's no doubt. It was a unbelievable couple of hours when I was on the air and the NCAA story was breaking, and then you started to really understand how the coronavirus was impacting sports and how it was kind of taking over the entire country and the headlines and just what was happening. So it was remarkable, and last night was remarkable. It was just to see it unfold. I was watching the Hawks game, and then my phone kind of blew up with the alerts about what the NBA was going to do, and then I kind of flipped it on ESPN. They had a game on, and then after the game was over and the game they were going to play got canceled, I kind of left it on ESPN and kind of stayed up till 1:30 watching the coverage. And I tell you, Logan, I'll say this. I tweeted this out a little while ago. ESPN gets a lot of crap. I mean, you're an ESPN affiliate, and so are we. But because SportsCenter's not what it used to be, a lot of people don't even know how big SportsCenter used to be. It used to be a point. I mean, when I was in college in Athens, I used to run home and watch SportsCenter at 6 o'clock every
night.
That's right. It was appointment television. But you know, they've done a marvelous job on television of covering the story. They really have. I have to give them credit, and I think they deserve credit because they've just done very well. But it's unprecedented. We've never been anything like this. I'm sitting on my show yesterday, and I'm like, you know, there's movies about this. This is a movie. This is just surreal, like we're living in a movie. And we don't often say that in our life very much, but I think the entire world is right now.
Yeah, no, extraordinary is the only word I can come up with. Look, I know you don't know the answers. We don't know the answers. We're all going to learn together, but you do have opinions I trust more than others. What do you think is going to happen to the end of this NBA season if you had to put your speculation hat on?
Well, it's either going to get canceled or they're going to move it. They're going to just postpone it for a month. And I would think, or I would think they could possibly simply just cancel the rest of the regular season and pick up the playoffs in mid to late April, a month from now, and say the eight in both conferences as they finished on March the 11th are the ones that are going to be slotted in the playoff positions, and we'll start there. Or either, you know, if they wanted to be more careful, they could say we're just going to take the top four from each conference or something of that nature to have less games, less interaction than the what, 2 months that we have of NBA playoffs. I mean, that's a possibility. I think it's going to be dictated, obviously, by how this goes and how far this illness goes. I mean, there are predictions that are both conservative and crazy that can scare prepare us all about how many of us in this world are going to, in this country, are going to get this. But I think it may be dictated by that, and how many people are going to have to be quarantined, how many people are going to have to just stay home. But I would think those are the two possible conclusions, is they're just going to have to cancel it and have no championship, or just simply, you know, wait for 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I mean, look, they can back up the schedule and they could start the playoffs whenever they want to. I mean, they can move the NBA schedule. They can say, you know, the new year starts on this date, and you know, heck, Steve Koonin, the president of the Hawks, it came out with an article the other day that Steve Koonin has even discussed with the NBA the possibility of having the schedule moved to not compete with college football. So, I mean, that could happen with this. So I think they've got to look at, first of all, what's safe. I mean, you think about last night, the fact that the Utah Jazz obviously have a player now, Rudy Gobert, that mm-hmm. we know is has the virus. And they had played, obviously, a lot of teams, Cavaliers, Knicks, Celtics, Pistons, and Raptors. And now those teams have been told to self-quarantine. Well, who did the Knicks play last night?
Yeah, exactly. Right there in Atlanta.
The Hawks. Right. And so not only the Hawks players, but everybody in that arena.
Yeah.
Is everybody in that arena? I was sitting there watching Bob Rathbun, and I'm like, you know, Bob Rathbun and Dominique are going to have to probably be tested. And that's what you worry about. You have to be concerned about that to a certain extent. So, you know, we've got to see how far this goes. I mean, you know, in 2 weeks, if we know that, you know, I don't know, 1,000 people that have been affected somehow by the Utah Jazz in one way or the other were now have the coronavirus, they may say, the heck with this. This isn't going to work. We're going to have to cancel it.
With the news coming out so quickly and nothing seems out of the realm of possibilities right now, chalk it up to the Atlanta sports curse if you want to. We just so happen to have the Final Four this year, but the NCAA making its decision not to let fans in here. Bill, are you going to be surprised if this tournament even goes off?
No, I don't think they're going to do it. Charles Barkley was just on SportsCenter, and you know he's part of the ESPN, or rather TNT and CBS coverage, and he was just saying, look, I work for them, but they've got to cancel this. They've got to at least postpone it. They've got to put it on hold, do the same thing the NBA is doing for now. We've got to see how, you know, these players can't, it only takes one to be infected, and it only takes one to have it spread like a crazy out of control domino effect here. And so I don't think they should play. I'm going to be surprised if Georgia plays Florida at 3:00 today.
Yep.
And so we may have seen the last basketball. I was like soaking in the Hawks game last night. And this is bad, Logan. I was actually rooting like hell for the New York Knicks because, and I tweeted this out last night, but if the Hawks had won that game last night, I know this is very far down on the, this is like in the sports brace part of the paper compared to everything going on. But if the Hawks had won the game last night, they would have had the sixth worst record in the NBA. Instead, they had the fourth worst record with the loss. And it would have been the difference in Atlanta having a 37.1% chance at a top four pick going into the lottery compared to the 48.1% chance they now have. And I'll take the extra 11% to try to get a top four pick for this Atlanta Hawks team. So I was like screaming for the Knicks to win in overtime because that could have made a big difference, you know. I hate it for the Final Four. I hate it for the college basketball players. I hate it for the Ivy League, cancel their spring sports. I mean, it's sad. It's awful. These players, you know, they live for this. You know, the opportunities, the teams that may not make the final of the NCAA March Madness every year are going to be heartbroken, but this is a safety issue, and that takes precedent.
And the city of Atlanta itself, they're talking about a $100 million hit if that thing doesn't go off.
Absolutely.
So, and there are budgets yearly that are planned out with that number in mind that's coming, and that's going to affect a lot of things. So
certainly, absolutely.
Crazy times. Yeah. So as this reverts to baseball, the only news I think we've gotten so far from baseball are the Mariners. They don't want to play in Seattle. That's more of a, what is it, the governor of Washington, or is it the mayor of Seattle, banned events or something along those lines. they want to move those games. To me, that seems like nothing compared to what I think may happen. How is this going to hypothetically affect maybe even spring training taking place than baseball opening day? Get this, 2 weeks from today.
Yep, 2 weeks from today. Well, the other thing, not only is Seattle with obviously the highest number of cases being in Washington. Even when I say these things, it's like, what the hell am I talking about here? But the highest number of cases are in Washington. And then California is also saying that no event should have more than 250 people at an event. And so the five California teams are now in jeopardy. Do you play your games in an empty stadium? Well, you're still going to have people there. So if one person's infected, the whole daggum team's going to be infected or could be infected. Do you move them to other locations? Do you keep them in Arizona at spring training locations to play major league games for the regular season? The Major League Baseball has a little bit of time to work this out. Although I would think they would need a week for the logistics to be able to go through this, and I'm just speculating here. I would think they would discuss it on a daily basis based on the news and try to determine what's best for their sport and for these teams that are most affected by it, the five California teams and Seattle, and start to make the contingency plans. And then if they have to back out, they do. Maybe they don't. But I think, yeah, there's a very good possibility. I mean, you could say, well, do you simply take the schedule and start April 15th? Well, not everybody plays a certain same amount of games on a certain amount of days. So how are you going to even that out? That's the trick with that for Major League Baseball. So they've got time, but it's a little bit trickier situation. I would think they would try to come up with a plan to play, but just not in California or Washington, perhaps.
Yeah. Joined as we are every Thursday by our man Bill Shanks.
Bill, you wrote an article yesterday about the Braves' great starting pitching, and Max Fried again had a good outing against the Twins yesterday. You had kind of spoke about how he was tinkering with a new changeup that might have led to some of the walks he had. Can you kind of talk about that new changeup and how he's looked as well as the other Braves starters this year?
Well, last year he was really working on trying to perfect that slider, and it really got better. And now he's spent this year really working on that changeup, and he's done a lot of work on it to try to perfect it. He's worked with Rick Kranitz, the pitching coach. And you can't go crazy about good or bad spring training stats, although it's easy to kind of get excited about the pitching numbers that are going on right now. But you can't go crazy about, oh my God, Max has 9 walks and 7.2 innings, because a pitcher can be working on something like a new pitch, and it could take him a while to get it under control. So I would assume that's the reason for the higher walk totals, because he is working on that pitch. But he reportedly looked good yesterday. I saw some highlights. He looked good. The velocity seemed to be there. Snicker said they liked the location of his fastball, and he had a much better performance, which he had. I saw him pitch his second game in Sarasota 2 Saturdays ago, and he didn't look too bad. I mean, he was, well, you could tell he was working on the changeup, and then he had a couple of back performances in the backfields there at Northport, almost at Disney. But I think he's trying to get it on track and get ready for the regular season. He'll probably have two or three more appearances before he's ready to start his season. So that'll get him prepared for the year. But overall, the pitching's been ridiculous. I mean, again, you can't go crazy. I'm sitting here looking. Here are the ERAs for the top 6 relief pitchers: Luke Jackson, Chris Martin, Mark Melanson, Darren O'Day, all 0.00. Will Smith, 1.69. And then Shane Green, 9.53. Well, look, I mean, it's easy to get concerned about Shane Green and think that those other five are going to be in a Cy Young race as relievers, for crying out loud, if they're going to do that. But it's spring training, and you have to just know that they're getting their work in and getting prepared. But the work for the starting pitchers, I mean, the last 6 games for the Braves in the Grapefruit League, their starting pitchers have allowed 1 earned run in 24.1 innings of work. And so this is actually something we needed to see here going into the start of 2020. This rotation looked good, especially with Cole Hamels out. So overall, it's been really, really good news, and hopefully it can continue into the start of the season, whenever it may be.
Absolutely. And I think one of the bigger questions for the Braves lineup, you know, like Logan said, we're 2 weeks away from opening day, but you know, Austin Riley, Johan Camargo, third base battle. You know, we played Josh Donaldson and the Twins yesterday. He kind of spoke about both players and, you know, his relationship and kind of who, you know, he can see it. He said he could kind of see both players since they're both great in their own ways. But, you know, is there a leader in the clubhouse kind of thing? Is it, obviously we're going to wait and see for the next 2 weeks, but how do you think that race is going, and what do you think is the end result of that race?
Yeah, the person who might want the season to be postponed for a couple of weeks is Brian Snicker, so he can have more time to figure out who the heck's going to start at third base, because right now they are both playing so very, very well, and that's a good thing, I guess. I mean, perhaps the best thing might have been for one of them to come out hitting 400 and one to hit 100, so it would have been very easy to determine which one deserved the job. But right now, Camargo 308, Riley 333. So how can you really differentiate that very much? They've both got the same number of bats practically and have both done very well. So it's going to be tough. I think Riley's proving he doesn't need to go to the minor leagues. Camargo's not a minor league player. He's done with that. We know that. But the risk you run is, if you give Riley the job, is Camargo going to pout again about being a reserve? He was not happy last year, justifiably so. But this is a competition, and the best man's got to win. So I would think right now the leader in the clubhouse, if you have to pin someone, despite the fact they're that close, is probably Riley. And for me, the difference is the power. If Riley's in the lineup either hitting fifth or sixth behind Ozuna, who needs to get going, by the way, it would just simply be, I think, a little bit sexier lineup, for lack of a better term, where you would have protection with power hitters in that lineup a little bit more. I mean, look, Camargo could hit 20 to 25 home runs if he was able to play a full season. He had 19 a couple of years ago and didn't start playing third every day until like beginning of May. But, you know, Riley's someone who could hit 30, 35, and if he lays off the slider and the breaking ball. So I would think the advantage may go to Riley, but it's going to be real interesting to see how they separate it. And those boys both probably know they cannot let off the gas pedal right now. They got to keep it going.
Bill, I've been talking to you for a couple of years on this here radio show. You may have picked up on the fact I get kind of like a sports crush on certain players in the minor leagues. It was Acuna for a while there. All I wanted to do was ask you about Acuna. Now it's Christian Pache. But he was sent down to Triple A or sent down, whatever the protocol is there. But this is not a surprise. This is not him failing at spring training. This is what we expected, right, with Pache?
Certainly, yeah. He was always going to start the year in Triple A. I mean, they've got five outfielders in the big leagues right now. Marcell Ozuna, Ronald Acuna will play every day. And then Nick Markakis, Adam Duvall in right field, and then Ender Inciarte in center field. And of course, they got to decide that too. But yeah, they're loaded in the outfield right now. And Pache is 21 years old. He's not ready. He needs more time to work on hitting that breaking ball. And so does Drew Waters. Pache, I think maybe Logan has shown that he's a little ahead of Waters right now, and that's fine. I mean, I don't think we should expect him to be on the same exact pace. But I think Pache's got a little bit of a lead as far as timetable is concerned, and I actually left the game. It was cold down there. I was a whiny little baby. I left the game in Sarasota when he hit a home run, so I missed that. But he's done everything this spring, or now they're in Port Charlotte, but he's done everything this spring to show what kind of prospect he is. He's hit the ball well. He's got two home runs and seven RBI. He can hit a little bit, but his defense is going to make it where you may not care what he hits. But he is going to contribute offensively and hopefully get better as he goes along. He looks like a man. He's physically gotten bigger, and he's not that – it really happened last year, and he's even more fit and looks like a man now at 21 this spring too. So, yeah, he's done everything I think you really want to see for a young prospect to – make you know that he's not too far away, and if needed by some chance, he could be ready to get that call and contribute to you this year.
Love it. Can't wait for all of it to unfold. I know there's no guarantees. Everything's up in the air, but coronavirus aside, when are you scheduled to go back to spring training?
Well, I'm scheduled on Sunday to leave, okay, leave and go back. I don't know if I'm going,
yeah,
and I'm not being scary by any means.
I get it.
You know, I said yesterday that I was asking the question yesterday on the show. You know, if you had a ticket to the Hawks game, which my co-host Russ Brown did, for Saturday night's game, would you still go? I said yes. Russ said yes. Most of our callers were saying yes, unless a couple that had small children were saying I probably would not go. We asked about the race, you know, on Sunday in Atlanta. Would you go to that? Would you still feel comfortable about that? I mean, I'm going to probably take the next 72 hours just to see what's going to go on at spring training. I mean, there have been cases down there in that area of Florida that they're in. Not that I'm worried about that per se, but I don't want to go down there and have nothing to cover. I don't know what they're going to do. They may close off the interviews are already different compared to what I'm used to getting, which are one-on-one interviews with people and putting them on our website and on our radio show, that they're kind of a gangbang interview and you're 6 feet away. So, you know, I've got to kind of determine how productive it would be if I would go. But if they're going to play, I'll probably still go. I think all of us, with life in general right now, we're kind of watching the news to see what's next for the entire country, for everything, not just spring training, but everything we're kind of doing.
Extraordinary times, not sure what it's going to look like or how it's going to play out, but certainly everything we do is up in the air right now. But thanks for your time as always this morning, Bill, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, just 1 week, hopefully next Thursday until opening day. So we'll talk to you then.
Okay, Logan.
All right, thanks, Bill. We appreciate it. Bill Shanks.
Always great.
Always a good time talking to Bill Shanks, and it is just such a...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.